welcome and good evening, ladies and gentlemen, to the second installment of KBSC's Granite City Radio Theater. In partnership with the Pioneer Place on 5th, the Granite City Radio Theater is brought to you with support from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund, as passed by Minnesota voters in 2008. So thank you. And thank you to the KBSC listener members who support your Sound Alternatives programming all year round. And now your hosts, Eric Webster and Tina Van Herr.
What up, people?
Woo! Nice.
Hey!
Right on, I wrote that song. I'm Eric Webster. You can tell the male voice, for those of you on radio, would be Eric, the female voice.
Hi, I'm Tina.
That's Tina Van Herr. Let's hear for Collective Unconscious and yeah! George Mauer back here.
That's what I'm talking about.
I'm going to tell you, they're going to be here all night. We got a lot of music from them, and they are unbelievable. They have been fantastic during the, what do you call
rehearsal?
It?
Rehearsal. Yeah.
I don't know what that word means. I've never really done much of that.
Yeah, that shows.
You're in for a treat.
It's overrated.
Oh,
so
it was
is
that
my,
guy.
So is my haircut.
Is that in my head? So, Tina.
Yeah.
In 9 days, we are going to be talking tonight about what happens 9 days from now.
My cable bill is due.
That is correct, but it probably won't be.
No.
And we're not talking about the holidays much tonight.
Okay.
We're talking about the fact that it is the end of the world.
Gasp!
That's right. 12/21, according to the Mayans, we're done. The world is going to end, and so we're going to focus on that a little bit tonight, just to
fantastic.
Bring the spirits up during the holiday season.
Exactly. That's what's going to make the people sing for joy.
That is. That's right. So, you know, this might be the last time you'd be doing something like this. So.
That's 9 days from now?
No, that's 9 days. So.
Oh, why did I shave my legs?
There is a bar down the hallway. Tonight we're going to have George Mauer here on the keyboard. He's going to be doing some songs for us.
Yes!
We also have Collective Unconscious with us here this evening. In addition, for those of you that listened to the first show back in October, I think it was, yes?
I have no idea.
No, me neither.
I'm so drunk. Oh, dear.
Yeah. We're going to have another episode, another installment of the radio drama, the original radio drama, Shades Brigade. We're going to be doing that. We've got the return of Ole and Lena and some J. Terry sketch comedy masterpiece stuff. And also, we're going to have our Dan Barth trivia contest tonight and all sorts of other fun.
Really? Dan Barth? Oh, he is hunky. Yeah. It is too bad this isn't television, because I'll tell you, ladies, eye candy. Hi, Dan.
This show's taking a whole weird twist.
Oh.
So, because we're going to be talking about the end of the world, we decided what we would do is throw a reporter out into the streets of St. Cloud.
Not literally, take it easy.
And have Mr. Lee Adams, who is our on-the-street reporter, and he is out somewhere in St. Cloud right now, and he's going to give us an update on how the city of St. Cloud is preparing for the end of the world. And let's see if we can... Do we have him? Is he there? Okay, Lee.
Eric.
Lee. Yes, Lee.
Eric.
Yeah, hi, Lee.
You got me.
Yeah, I got you, Lee. There, you're there.
Hey.
Hi.
Everything good? I'm out here and out here at the red carpet.
Oh, good place to start.
People are preparing for the end of the world out here.
Yeah.
Getting ready.
What kind of things are happening at the red carpet? How are they getting ready?
Oh, shoosh! It's a madhouse. There's a guy. Well, he ordered a drink. It's what is that? It's a gin and tonic.
Okay.
It's a vodka tonic, Eric.
Vodka tonic.
He's ordered a vodka tonic.
So is that his end of the world drink then? That's his way of saying goodbye to the world. He's going to drink that vodka tonic?
Sure, we'll go with that. That's, there's a guy down there and he's got a shirt on. It's a long sleeve shirt. No, it's short sleeve. It's just too big for him. He's He's getting ready for the end of the world, though. He looks mildly apprehensive. No, he's really looks fine, actually. He's not.
Oh.
There's people walking by the window. I see one guy. He's jogging. He's jogging over there, Eric.
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. I'm still here, at least.
I'm going to go outside, see what's stirring up out there.
Okay, Lee, well, how about if you we check in with you a little later, and we'll see if there's any other news about...
Holy cow!
Yes.
Oh, man, a car just rode by.
Well, wow, so...
I'm going to have to go, Eric.
Was it going fast? Are they scared of the end of the world?
I don't know. It was regular speed, probably, but the guy looked well... He looked normal, but he was probably worried. I'm thinking, the guy, oh, man, oh, look at that, huh?
We can't, it's radio.
Right, yeah, but boy, she is hot.
Oh. Okay. Lee Adams, we will check in with you a little bit later in the program. Thank you so much for your live report.
All right, Eric, be safe in there, be safe.
We'll be safe. You know,
that was in depth.
In depth. My favorite part of that is that he actually puts his finger in his ear.
I got an itch. I got an itch, Eric. Cut my feed.
All right, KVSC, Root Cellar Program, bringing you alt country and Americana. Every Sunday afternoon, 4 till 6 p.m., would like to remind you, the KVSC listener, that when you play country music backward, you get your truck back, you get your dog back, you get your wife back.
That is exactly why I don't listen to country music backwards.
That's a good one. And now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the first installment of the Granite City Radio's theater-gripping drama, Shades Brigade.
I'm Jack Shade. I run a group of mercenaries. I call us Shade's Brigade. Catchy, huh? We travel the world getting ourselves in trouble because, well, that's what we get paid to do. We left Bourbon Island having saved the village of Salazee from the evil Dambuzo. Tilak provided us with a boat to set sail for India, then eventually back home. At least that was the plan. We never did make it to India. The Indian Ocean was rough and cold. We were staring down the barrel of about 2 weeks on board a crude sampan that was barely seaworthy, and we didn't have provisions for 2 weeks and a day. We being me and my team, Quinn Shaw. Don't let the accent fool you. Trained in the SAS of the United Kingdom Special Forces. Tough as nails. Cooper T. King, former alligator wrestler from a traveling sideshow circuit. Born and raised in the swamps of Georgia. His only weakness, women, and no filter. Ernie Polk, tough, lovable, loyal, strong as an ox. And a step to the left of smart. I'd put my life in any one of their hands and frequently have.
I say, I've had better accommodations in my life.
It reminds me of the hotel back home.
The hotel, Cooper?
Yeah, Quinn. It was called the Calamities.
That's a terrible name for a hotel.
Well, it was a terrible hotel. It was owned by Sam Calamity. You know, he also owned the butcher shop. That's why the rooms are so cold. It was in the same building. But the continental breakfast was all the bacon you could eat.
Well, what I would give for a night at old Sam Calamity's right now. Any idea of our location, Jack?
Well, near as I can figure by the stars, we're about 300 miles out. In this tub, we should be there in about 6 days, if everything goes right.
You mean this is going right?
It'll be tight on provisions.
Don't worry. If we need to, I'll catch you some fish. Back home, I was 3-time county noodling champion. Funny story. I remember this one time, me and my friend Squishy, we was heading for Hopeless Lake.
Coast Guard to Shades Brigade. Come in, Jack Shade, Coast Guard to Shade Brigade.
It's the radio. This is Jack Shade, over.
Mr. Shade, I have an urgent message to you from the President of India. Unidentified landmass appeared overnight, about 2 kilometers long, 250 miles south of the coast of India.
Landmass? How does a landmass suddenly appear?
That's about where we are.
Landmass described by military reconnaissance ships. They radioed in. Last transmission 14 hours ago. Have not heard from them since. Have sent search team of planes. As the search planes approached landmass, they disappeared from radar. Have had no further contact. What is your current location, over?
We think we're about 300 miles off the south coast. We should be approaching the area within a day. I'll radio in if we find it. Over.
Understood and confirmed. Over.
Well, boys, we might be hitting land sooner than we thought. We sailed north. Well, more like creative drifting. We kept our eyes peeled for any sign of land. It was dark as pitch. About a day later, it was Ernie who saw it first.
Hey, bright light.
What's that, Ernie?
Way over there, there's a bright light.
Yeah, I see it, Ernie.
Yeah, pretty. Blue and purple.
Pretty? Interesting. I was thinking disturbing. What do you make of it, Jack?
I would say it's a couple of miles out. I can't quite tell, but it looks like northern lights.
Does everybody else hear that buzz? Is it happening to you, or is it just in my head?
Buzz?
Listen, he's right. Do you hear that?
Oh, yes. Yes, I hear it, too.
It's getting louder as we get closer to the lights.
Jack, those lights are coming from the sky. And those aren't Aurora Borealis. That's some kind of ship.
We were all looking up at the sky. Quinn was right. We could make out what seemed like a metal hull. It was round. The lights were oscillating. And as they would cross our boat, they were blinding. And it was obvious that that hum was coming from there.
What is it?
I don't know, Ernie. I've never seen anything quite like it.
Calling Jack Shade. This is the Coast Guard. Come in, Jack Shade.
This is Jack Shade. Over.
Urgent, Mr. Shade. Do not approach landmass. I repeat, urgent. Do not approach landmass. We have new information.
Without warning, the boat had run aground. We'd been looking up at the lights on the ship in the sky and hadn't noticed we discovered the unexplained landmass. We were trapped on a rocky, jagged shore, and it was obvious the boat wasn't going to last long.
Land ho.
Everybody out! Quick! Get on the rocks! The boat's going under! Stay out of the water! We're going to get washed out to sea!
Or freeze to death. Here, Coop, give me your hand.
Got it! Pull!
Up you go!
Yeah.
Are you all right?
Yeah, I'm all right. Somebody help Ernie!
Where is he? I can't see him.
Ernie!
Ernie!
I'm coming. Hey, look, I'm right here. I just had to grab something.
Give me your hand.
Oh, grab that rock.
Hang on, the boat's going down.
There it goes.
Ernie, what were you grabbing?
Just this.
That's a sandwich.
Yeah, I wasn't done with it yet.
Here, let me have a bite of that.
No, get your own. Where am I going to get my own?
Quiet! Where is Jack?
Jack?
Can't see a bloody thing.
Jack! Up here! Make your way inland to the top of this hill.
In a jiffy, Jack.
Hey, there you are, Jack. Hey, you want some sandwich?
Thanks, Ernie. Not now. Men, we have company. His fire pit was used recently. Footprints in the smut are leading away, and they're fresh.
Well then, there goes claiming it in the name of the Queen and naming it.
Like heck, I proclaim this Cooperville.
Let's go take a look. Hold on! Someone's coming.
Hello?
Who's out there?
Major Kate Stafford, U.S. Air Force.
What's all this, then?
It's a lady.
Step forward. From out of the dark stepped a lady, all right. An officer, to be exact. I could see by the medals on her lapel she was well thought of.
You're American. Who are you?
Jack Shade. These are my men. We were sent here to investigate this...
The unexpected island? Me too. I was on patrol when I was ordered to go look for a missing India Air Force squadron. I saw the lights and the whatever that is up there. I was flying closer to investigate, and there was a loud hum followed by an explosion. and knocked out my engines. It's just like they stopped working. I lost control of the plane and crash-landed it here in the ocean, made my way to the shore in an emergency raft.
What were you even doing in this area? This is British airspace.
Seems ridiculous to say now, considering the circumstances, but that's classified.
Okay. Well, what now?
I've done a little looking around. It seems that there's nothing much here but rock and hills. Haven't been able to find much else of interest, but I've only been here about an hour. Took me most of the time to find enough dry sticks to build a fire. I put that out when I heard you.
Well, this island, or whatever it is...
Cooperville!
Stow it, Coop. This thing came from somewhere for some reason, and it was something to do with the lights and whatever that is up there. We need light. Quinn, grab that stick. Make us a torch.
Righto.
You're not using my pants to make a torch again, are you, Jack?
Here. Use my scarf.
Oh, good.
I have some kerosene over by the fire.
There we are.
All right. Let's get a closer look.
Jack, look over there.
Those are fish.
Funny looking fish.
Look around. There's more over there. They're everywhere.
And they all look still wet. Some of them are still barely alive.
How did they get up here? Did they just drop from the sky?
That's a good question. Look at these giant grooves.
I say.
These grooves are about 6 feet deep. They go in all directions.
Ah!
The ground, the rock, it's hot.
What on earth could make these? You would need some kind of...
Everybody, quick, take cover! Stay tuned, Shades Brigade and Z-117 will continue later in the program. Now, KVSC listeners and everybody here at the Pioneer Place Theater in beautiful downtown St. Cloud, please welcome George Maurer and Collective Unconscious.
As a kid, you had a truck, a heap from a government sale. Three on the tree, speedometer shot, smelled kind of oily and stale. That old truck would be there waiting. School got out at 3. You would smile, reach way over to unlatch the door for me. Sound of that engine was ragged and rough, muffler as old as the chrome. I stood listening for it one day in third grade, till teacher said, I'll drive you home. That old truck was in the driveway when I went up to the door. You were sleeping on the couch, empty bottles on the floor. It got worse that day on. I needed you, you were gone. Cry, you would shout. The heat went off, food ran out. I was only 9 years old. Social worker came by, she said, think what's best for Sky. Think what's best for Sky. What's best for Sky? You gave me away. People who fostered me, well, so I'm told, you couldn't know what was to come. You beat me for speaking the language that you spoke, lied to me about where I was from. That old truck was on the shoulder. Their car took me away. The police had pulled you over. When I see you, what do I say? Away.
Oh my goodness!
George Maurer.
Yeah.
And Collective Unconscious. We're gonna.
That was awesome.
We're gonna invite Mr. Maurer up here.
I got goosebumps.
George, that was beautiful. Nice.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Very nice. Now, the name of that song?
It's called That Old Truck.
And this is from something called Empire Builder.
Yeah,
explain
it's a brand new jazz opera that I'm writing. Actually, Americana. It's got country music, rockabilly, jazz, blues. And nice. That story is from the character of a Blackfoot Indian by the name of Sky, who's coming home from his work in the Bureau of Indian Affairs in Washington, D.C., and his grandfather back in Montana is dying. And Sky was estranged from his grandfather at the age of 9 and not sure that he wants to go back. So he's riding a train, the Empire Builder, and he's thinking about old memories of that old truck and how that story changes over time.
So I'm guessing not a lot of kick lines in this.
Not yet. We're in development, so.
Well, a lot of big
open
jazz
suggestion,
hand numbers.
So. Could be. Could
I'm
be.
Playing Sky Masterson up here in St. Cloud in Guys and Dolls, so if you need a Sky.
Sure, sure. The sky's the limit.
Yeah.
Oh,
I'm
boy.
I'm sure it's very.
Oh, boy. He really does do good music, though.
He's really
the music
good at
is
piano.
Good.
I'm part of Collective Unconscious. You have to expect that sort of thing.
George, tell us about yourself a little bit. Where are you from and.
Grew up in the Twin Cities in Pennsylvania and Wisconsin, and then came to St. John's and spent 20 years in the St. Cloud area and got kicked out about 7 years ago out of Stearns County. And
SCSU?
Been groveling on the streets of Minneapolis ever since. So yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. But I've been writing nice music, you know, so, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like coming back to St. Cloud.
Yeah, well, they let you back. That's the beautiful part.
Statue of limitations.
No, we didn't want the police here again, so.
I would love to find out more about how you got kicked out, but we'll probably just move on.
All right, we'll move on.
That's a good idea.
That's
right?
A good idea,
Thank
too.
You, George, so much for being here tonight.
Yeah.
George Maurer, everybody.
Woo!
Say, we'd like to remind everybody, our KVSC listeners and everybody here at the Pioneer Place Theater, that the Trivia 2013 contest is going to be coming up in February 8th, 2013. Now, because tonight we're we're very concerned with the end of the world that in 9 days, none of this is going to matter.
Right.
Because the Mayans, they didn't get nothing wrong.
Oh, boy.
That was a joke for about six
years. Yeah,
people.
There's a man speaking somewhere here, isn't there?
They know how to stick around. Anyway, so we'd like to announce, because of that, the results of the 2013 trivia contest right now. Yeah. Now.
You got those.
Here's the winner.
Yeah.
2013 St. Cloud Trivia Contest. Look at George, man. Fantastic. What would Voodoo Mustache do with Steven's panties was say too tight?
No, way too tight. Way too tight. Oh,
can't
boy.
Try it again. What would Voodoo's mustache do with Steven panties way too tight?
Yeah!
Yeah! You sound like the Let's Make a Deal Orchestra. Well, you didn't win nothing. So sorry. Anyway, to register to find out how your team will do in 2013, please visit kvsc.org beginning this Friday, December 14th. Ladies and gentlemen, it is time for some trivia. Please welcome to the stage your Granite City Radio Trivia Quizmaster, Mr. Dan Barth.
Yeah.
Happy holidays and good evening, radio fans, and welcome to Granite City Radio Theater Trivia, a game designed to challenge the minds of our contestants while pointing out their extreme lack of knowledge of elementary level questions, while giving you, our listening audience, a wonderful opportunity to boast your extreme intelligence regarding useless tidbits of information. Joining me this evening is my partner in trivia crime and designated scorekeeper, Mr. Jay Terry. How you doing tonight, Jay?
Well, I'm very excited for the holiday season.
Oh, why is that?
Well, it's the one time of year I get to use my Christmas jokes.
You have Christmas jokes?
Hundreds of them. Classics like this. What did Santa shout at his toys on Christmas Eve?
What? I don't know.
Okay, everyone. Sack time.
Oh, boy.
Or what do you get when you fry Santa Claus?
Deep fry Santa?
Mm-hmm. Crisp Kringle.
Oh, boy. That's about enough. That's about enough.
What goes, ho, 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 ho?
You any minute.
No, silly. Santa caught in a revolving door.
Okay, we've heard about enough of that drivel. Why don't you introduce our trivia contestants this evening?
My pleasure. In seat number one is the Extreme Ultimate Station Manager at SCSU. Please welcome St. Cloud State University President, Dr. Earl Potter.
Good evening and welcome, Dr. Potter. Why are programs like the Granite City Radio Theater important to both the university and our community?
Well, if you build something together, you stay together, and that's what we're all about.
Fantastic, yeah. Well, thank you so much for joining us tonight, Dr. Bowder. Who's next, Jay?
In seat number two is a woman who is seen all over town. Please welcome the director of Visual Arts Minnesota, Heidi Jube Stedman.
Yeah. Hiya, Heidi. So what is Visual Arts Minnesota to those who might not be familiar?
We're a small arts organization who takes care of our artists, and we help them exhibit and promote their work, as well as offering them non-monetary resources.
Fantastic. Thanks, Heidi. Thanks for coming out. And finally, Jay, who's our third contestant this evening?
In seat number three is our defending trivia champion and a 1989 magna cum laude graduate of SCSU. Please welcome the mayor of St. Cloud, the Honorable Dave Kleiss.
Mayor Kleiss, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to have a little fun with us this evening. Now, seriously, of all the accolades you've received over the years, how does defending champion of Granite City Radio Theater Trivia stack up?
Well, I got a parking ticket last week, so.
Oh!
It's really a tough call between that and, you know, I have radio theater every Monday night. It's called a city council meeting.
Exactly.
But this is high.
Unfortunately, it's getting higher ratings than we are.
It is, it is. Number one government access channel in all of St. Cloud.
I am not shocked. All right, well, let's see if the good mayor can continue to hold his title against these two formidable opponents. All right, the rules of our game are quite simple. We'll have two rounds of trivia with subject matter ranging from general knowledge to holiday trivia and pulp culture to science. I take great pleasure in telling you that all of these questions were formed off the top of my head, and there's an excellent chance that many of the answers are wrong. But coincidentally, I'm also in charge of question disputes. So my answers, in the end, are correct. I would like to ask our Studio Live audience not to yell out answers, as this is very competitive, and our contestants are playing for a fabulous prize, I think. Jay, do we have a fabulous prize?
Yes, Dan, yes, we do. Tonight, our contestants are playing for this lovely hand-tinseled Christmas tree out of the Pioneer Prop Room no less than 12 minutes ago.
Very good. It doesn't get much better than that.
Hand tinseled.
Hand tinseled. Did you hand tinsel that yourself?
I did.
Kind of one sided.
It was dark. It was dark in the prop room, and.
Yes, indeed. Our first round is a buzz-in round where I'll read a question and the first contestant to buzz in with the answer will answer. Now, since we're working under a grant, we didn't have enough money to actually budget for buzzers. So, Dr. Potter, you have a handbell. Go ahead and give that a try. Oh, very nice. You might want to do multiple dings. Oh, very good. Very, very good.
That's president material right there.
That's how you get it. That's how you get to the top. Now, Heidi, you have a little bell that was part of a production of It's a Wonderful Life. So besides being your buzzer tonight, every time you ring it, an angel's going to get its wings. So why don't you give that a try? Oh, very nice. Perfect. And I'll have tea. Mayor Kleist, you have the honor of buzzing in with a cowbell that was left behind in this very theater by a rock and roll band in 1998. So why don't you give us a little cowbell? More cowbell? Yeah, I think we need more cowbell, yeah.
Can't get
exactly.
Enough cowbell.
Can't have enough cowbell. Great job. Okay, Jay, each correct answer in this round is worth 5 points, so please keep track. If you lose track, we'll just make up the score later. Okay. Hands on your bells, contestants. The first round questions are going to challenge your knowledge of everything holiday related and is certain to identify the Scrooge among you. Here we go. Question number one. As the little drummer boy kept time, who accompanied him? Oh, Heidi.
David Bowie.
Oh, close. David Bowie was very close. Unfortunately, incorrect. Mayor Kleist.
Shepherds in the Field.
Oh, very close as well.
That's a different song.
Not the Shepherds in the Field, Dr. Potter?
Beats Me.
Beats Me is also incorrect. Audience, do you have an answer to that? Yes, exactly. The Ox and Lamb kept time, ironically.
Oh, yeah. That's
yes,
right.
They were highly regarded as the first rhythm right. section in modern music. Question number two, no points there, Jay. Which country can be credited with the creation of the Christmas beverage eggnog? And there's a deathly silence. Mayor Kleist.
United Kingdom.
United Kingdom is correct,
He's
yes.
standing next to the guy with the script.
Exactly. And for centuries, this useless creation has been ruining family Christmases around the globe. 5 points for Mayor Kleist. Question three. Of all the popular Christmas songs, which is the best-selling single of all time? Mayor Kleist.
White Christmas.
Yes, it is indeed, of course. In fact.
He just passed on the job.
Bing Crosby's rendition has sold nearly 100 million copies, making it the best-selling single of all time. And more importantly, has made us all crooners. Isn't that nice? Mm-hmm. Number four. Five more for Mayor Kleist. Which is the most famous Christmas ballet of all time? Mayor Kleist?
Nutcracker.
The Nutcracker is correct. The Nutcracker is correct. And based on the costumes, it is appropriately titled. We have the beginnings of a runaway here. Dr. Potter, Heidi. According to Dr. Seuss, what is the Grinch's dog's name? Oh. Mayor Gleiss?
Max.
Max is right. Oh.
Pulled that one out of thin air.
Did he?
I knew it would come to me.
That's how you get elected. You listen to your constituents.
Right. Absolutely.
Five more. Don't worry. There's a speed round yet. You got it. Question number six. When is Boxing Day? Oh,
that was Earl Potter.
Yeah, that was Dr. Potter.
The 26th.
That is correct. December 26th. Now, in Canada, Boxing Day does not involve fighting throughout the country, but actually has bosses and employees switching positions for the day. Now, perhaps that would work in Washington, don't you think? 5 points for Dr. Potter, and here's our final question in round one. What are there 10 of in the 12 days of Christmas? Mayor Kleiss? They're all singing.
10 ladies dancing.
No, it is not ladies dancing.
Oh, okay.
9 ladies dancing.
Yeah. Heidi?
I got to start with one. It's really hard to get all the way to 10.
What was that?
You're so close.
You were very
Judges,
close.
Judges, can we accept lizards? Yes, we can. It's lords, but lords. We can accept lizards.
We will take leaping lizards for lords of leaping. There's about 22 years of college sitting right here, I want you all to know. By the way, Lords of Leaping does not refer to a group suicide in Parliament. All right, Jay, very good. At the end of round one, how did our contestants do?
Well, Earl Potter has 5 points, Heidi has 5 points, and the Honorable Mayor Dave Kleiss has 20 points.
Very good, very good. Okay, this leads us into our final lightning round. Each of you will have 1 minute to answer as many true or false questions as possible. We will start with the person in last place. Since we have a tie, I'll flip this coin.
Well, ladies first, I think.
Ladies first. Yeah. Heidi, you won. Are you ready? You don't have to ring in for this.
Oh.
You can set your bell down or you can put it in your pocket. But you cannot take it with you. We need it for next show.
Okay, gotcha.
All right, is the official egg timer set to 1 minute? Are you ready? Here we go, Heidi. Number one, Scrooge is visited by 3 ghosts on Christmas Eve.
True.
That is false. There are 4. Jacob Marley is the 4th. Hostess Twinkies are 36% air.
True.
No, that's false. They're 68% air. Yeah. And sadly, now they're 100% air. The best-selling toy of all time is the Rubik's Cube.
False.
No, it's true. Over 350 million units sold. At 5'9" tall, Barbie's ideal weight would be 130 pounds.
That's false.
That is false. According to CDC, it would be 110 pounds. The first known Japanese anime was created in 1917.
True.
That is true. The first sign of the zodiac is Pisces.
False.
False is correct. It is Aries. Jimmy Carter's campaign airplane was called the Big Peanut.
True.
No, that's false.
Oh, okay.
It was called Peanut One. That's true, and he still got elected. How did Heidi do, Jay?
She got 3 answers correct.
Very good. That takes her points to 20.
Oh, they're 5 points? 5 points.
No,
point
they're 10 for that one. You're
10,
right.
So 35 points.
35 points for Heidi. All right, this leads us to Dr. Earl Potter. All right, 1 minute on the clock. Here we go. True or false? Canada is the number one exporter of Christmas trees.
True.
That is true. In every episode of Seinfeld, there's a Superman somewhere.
True.
That is true, much like the corner of 25th and Division in St. Cloud. Mark Twain's real name was Samuel Shepard.
No, false.
That is false. It was Samuel Clemens. And don't miss former WCCO news anchor Don Shelby playing Mark Twain right here at Pioneer Place in January. Teddy Roosevelt banned the White House Christmas tree due to environmental concerns.
False.
That is true.
That's
1904.
True.
The dentist in Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer was named Sammy.
No, false.
That is false. It was Hermie. Yeah. Robinson Crusoe spent 24 days shipwrecked on his island.
No, false.
No, that is true. The BB gun in A Christmas Story was the Blue Velvet.
False.
Yeah. That is false. It was the Red Rider. How did it? Yes, very good.
Did you get the shipwreck one? Robinson Crusoe? True? Did he get the right? Okay. Then he had five correct answers for a total of 55 points.
55 points. Very, very good. All right. Mayor Kleiss with 20 points. He needs four correct to win. Four correct to win. Here we go. 1 minute on the clock. Here we go. 15% of people who use personal ads for dating are already married.
False.
That is false. It's 35%. The spleen is part of the respiratory system.
False.
That is false. It's the immune system. Phyllis Diller's husband's name was Tim.
False.
That is false. It was Fang.
Fang?
Fang. Charlie Brown's...
Sharp fella?
Yeah, Fang. Charlie Brown's sister Sally asked for love in her letter to Santa Claus.
True.
It is false. She asked for cash. No. The 2011 Best Picture Oscar went to The Black Swan.
False.
It is false. It went to The King's Speech. Ken of Ken and Barbie fame's last name was Carson.
True.
That is true. Chevy Chase wants to buy a red Corvette with his Christmas bonus in Christmas Vacation.
False.
That is false. He wants to buy a swimming pool. And that's the end of the round. How do you do?
The Honorable Mayor Dave Kleiss had six correct answers
for
a total of 80 points, and he is our returning champion.
A returning champion.
And it was really difficult to look over to this side where they actually had the answers.
Yeah.
I kind of noticed
I looked
that.
Over there.
I was kind of noticing
that. There's a cue
that.
Card that has the answers.
All right, Jay, why don't you tell the good mayor what he has won this evening?
I told him I had this beautiful 10-inch, poorly decorated Christmas tree that we hope you will display with pride this holiday season.
Very nice. All right, you are listening to KVSC 88.1, your sound alternative. Thank you all so much for listening, audience, for joining us this evening for the trivia portion of the Granite City Radio Theater. Remember... Remember, KVSC is your trivia headquarters coming this February 8th through 10th as they present their 34th annual KVSC Trivia Weekend with 50 hours of nonstop trivia fun. This year's theme is Trivia 2013, A Space Oddity. Much more information is available at kvsc.org. Thank you to our contestants, Dr. Earl Potter, Heidi Jupe Stedman, and Mayor David Kleiss, and my trusty sidekick, Jay Terry, for his immaculate time and scorekeeping skills. And now, ladies and gentlemen, gives me great pleasure to introduce once again Mr. George Maurer and Collective Unconscious.
Lord, it's time. The summer has gone by. Darken the sundials with the shadow. And on the meadows, let the wind roll free. Tree and vine, grant them a few more transparent days. Urge them on to fulfillment and press the final sweetness. Thank you.
George Maurer.
George Maurer, collective conscious. Nice. Hey, George, quickly, everybody backstage is talking. Well, where do I get this CD?
Yeah.
How do you get this music?
Well, that song is on two different CDs. It's on Collective Unconscious's Pet Sounds
That's
CD.
That's the one you want to buy.
Right.
It was actually recorded right here and on this stage a number of years ago, and then it's also on Songs from the Wayward Journey, which is a project of mine. We have Diane Tremaine on cello, by the way, on that, and Al Osmus on sax. Jeff Engholm singing the vocals, Muggsy Lauer, Richard Wideman backup, and Pete Johnson on drums in the band.
Wow. Yep.
So, Tina, the trivia contest, that first question, did you hear that first question?
I'm sorry. I got to come back for a second here. That was really hot.
Lee, you remember the trivia contest?
Yep. Yeah, it just happened, right?
Yeah, it just happened. Remember that first question about the ox and lamb kept time?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, sure.
I knew that answer because when Barack Obama first came around, like, I don't know, showed up, I had a really hard time remembering his name. I couldn't remember. What now? Anyway, I memorized his name using a mnemonic device. The ox and lamb kept time, Barack Obama.
Nice.
Oh, boy.
Nice.
True story.
It is a true story.
Barack Obama.
Got a little
Barack
sick of hearing you do that.
Yeah, right.
Hey, let's hear it for the band again, huh? Yeah, right.
And now it's time for another thrilling episode of Shades Brigade. The last thing I remember was a beam of light coming straight at us. I heard an explosion and was thrown through the air, and for some reason, I remember Ernie's face as it flew past me. Then I was out. I woke up face down. I felt strangely uncomfortable. And then I realized my face was in a pillow. I sat straight up and looked around. I was in a bed in some sort of hospital. Beeps and weird boings. A really weird hospital. Laying on tables in the same room as everybody else. Cooper, Quinn, Ernie, and Kate. They were still out. I had to figure out where they were and how we got here. Hey, Quinn.
Hmm?
Quinn, wake up, old man. Come on, snap to.
What the bloody...
I don't know. Some kind of hospital. Maybe we were hurt and taken to India.
Hey, guys, what you whispering for?
Cooper, don't sneak up like that and keep it down. For all we know, we could be in danger.
Right. Sorry, Jack. I just woke up and saw you two over here talking, so I decided I'd come over and join the party. where are we?
I don't know. Quinn, go wake up Kate. Cooper, get Ernie. Then everybody start to look around this room and see what you can figure out. Everybody got up, and we started to look around the room.
Jack, I don't recognize any of this equipment.
Dude, everything's got these funny letters on it.
Jack, the screen. It has all of our pictures on it. And next to them are the funny letters.
I gotta make heads or tails of it. What is that?
Jack, my gun is gone.
Mine too. What was that noise?
I don't know, but it happened right at the same time that I flipped this switch here.
Ernie! What? Don't touch anything.
Ernie, you're like a teenager on prom night, son.
How's that?
Oh, didn't go to prom, huh, Quinn?
The room was about 30 feet by 30 feet square. No doors, no windows. The ceiling was about 20 feet high and covered in a thick green ooze. Everything seemed to be vibrating. Suddenly, the wall in front of me disappeared. And standing there was a man. Normal enough looking man with a white lab coat. And behind him, five things. Creatures so foreign that I struggled to fathom what I was looking at. 7-8 feet tall. What looked like long, stringy hair coming down from their heads, but not hair, more like tubes or limp antennae. I realized that the end of each antenna was an eyeball. Each antenna was moving separately and peering around the room at everything at once. They were almost see-through, like gelatin. And they were making a noise. Oh, yeah. And they had weapons. No matter how different we were, I understood that the glowing sticks of light were weapons.
Dr. Lair, I presume?
Well, I'll be it. You know him?
Yes. We know each other, Mr. Quinshaw.
I say.
and Mr. Cooper D. King,
Annie Polk, and the famous Captain Jack Shade, and of course, Major Kate Stafford.
Dr. Lair, I've been looking for you.
I am well aware, Miss Stafford, and flattered. And now you have found me, but quite by accident. And only because I allowed you to find me.
What's a skinny, Major?
It's classified.
Well, seems like it's become unclassified to me.
Rather.
Just tell me that you ain't friends with Mr. and Mrs. Halloween and their kids behind them.
I don't think we've met before.
Well, they've met us. I think they bloody well see everything.
Come clean, Major.
Yes, Major, do.
Come clean. I love a good story.
Very well. Dr. Edgar Lair is an old friend of mine. He's a scientist who works on top-secret government experiments and inventions. His brother, Dr. Edmund Lair, now stands before us. He's also a scientist of sorts, a scientist for hire by the highest bidder.
Oh, you make it sound so caustic.
If the lab coat fits. After inventing a drill for the Germans that could reach all the way down to the bottom of the ocean floor with a boat, he recently discovered an element at the bottom of the ocean by accident. He called it, his discovery was GJZ. It was actually Z-17, 117. Z-117, which held the harness of an enormous amount of energy in just a teaspoonful. After conducting a few experiments, he had attracted the attention of someone or something.
Oh, do you hear that, friends? You are indescribable.
Yes. Edmund went to his brother to collect him and told him that he was being communicated by the aliens from some other galaxy, and they wanted the Z-117. Edgar, of course, didn't believe Edmund until Edmund appeared a few days later. Edgar only went to his lab and found that he had not only packed his bags and taken most everything of importance with him, but that all the Z-117 was gone from a storage locker. Edgar went to the top leaders of the military. They still didn't believe the alien part, but that Edmund was gone with those Z-117 was disturbing enough. They sent me out on recon to fly over this part of the ocean where Edmund had made his discovery in hopes of finding him and bringing him home, that the Z-117 would come back. That's when I received an SOS call from the Indian military that they'd been losing boats and squadrons over a mysterious landmass, and they just disappeared. I was in the area when I went to investigate, and, well, you know the rest.
We were in the process of mining the Z-117 when our beam drill came dangerously close to presenting you all with your demise. I'm so sorry about that.
I say, now I know how iron ore feels.
I was observing the process on the telescreen and saw your predicament. I had them bring you on board and save you.
Why would you do that?
Ah, a fair question, my friend.
Friend? I wouldn't expect a Christmas card.
Oh, correct, Mr. Shaw. My true friends up here behind me. Let me introduce them to you. These are the rulers of Verulium. Verulium is a main belt asteroid with an orbital period of 1,768.785360486753.09 days. Or rather, 4.84 years.
Fascinating.
The Veruliums have been searching the universe for Z-117 for centuries. They knew the element could exist in theory, but had never actually been able to find it or make it. They were alerted to its existence when they picked up the strong radioactive signals that my experiments were making. They traveled very far to seek my great knowledge.
Well, it wasn't for lessons in humility.
Still doesn't explain why you saved us. Or what's going on now?
The Verulians quite simply want the powers that Z-117 can bring them. In short, they can control the universe We've already run a few very successful tests. The Indian Navy and Air Force can testify to that. It works quite well, if I say. It's simply the most powerful weapon in the universe. The Volumians have been very helpful. No more drilling primitively down thousands of fathoms to the ocean floor. They can, quite simply, bring the ocean floor to the surface. It really makes for much easier mining.
Well, that explains that.
And we are almost done. We are in the process of completing the final stage of a doomsday device, if you will. That's such a quaint term. You see, Captain Shade, by destroying all human life, the Volumians are guaranteed confrontational free access to Z-117.
Yeah, I think I found a major flaw in your plan.
Quite. However, he does barely qualify as human life.
Oh, hardy har har! Mr. Shaw. In exchange for my assistance, I have been given the greatest gift any man has ever received. The opportunity to be the father of my species. All humans will descend from me from here on out. I have been granted immunity from the cleansing, myself, and of course, the mate of my choosing.
Oh, no, 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 no. I'm beginning to understand why he saved us, or me, anyway.
Quite right, Major.
Oh, geez, that's a relief. For a minute there, I thought he'd chosen me.
And you saved us because of your ego. You had to tell someone. Must be hard having a conversation with Jell-O molds.
No matter, Captain Shade. Your time, everybody's time is up. And so, I leave you with your final thoughts. Au revoir. Please, Miss Stafford, if you would follow me.
I'm busy tonight. Gotta wash my hair.
Oh, ha ha. How precious. She believes she has a choice.
Let go of me.
Miss Stafford, don't you understand? I am giving you a tremendous gift. You will be the mother of all mankind. You are Eve.
Let go of me or I'll bite your apples.
Okay, take her away.
Wait. When are we going to see her?
They're gone, Jack.
Lady's gone.
Not a trace of a handle or a button on this thing anywhere.
I can't budge this thing an inch.
We've got to find a way out of here. Start searching for anything. Ernie, go ahead. Push buttons, any buttons, all of them.
Oh, yeah, hot dog.
We began looking for anything that would lead to a way out. Pushing every button, hitting every lever, punching and hitting anything. Finally, without warning, one of the other walls disappeared. It opened up into a small room. Inside was a table and a man in a trench coat with his back to us. He whirled around.
Who are you?
Easy, easy. I think we're in the same boat here, pal.
Wait a minute. This is a boat?
I'm Jack Shade.
Jack Shade? Oh, my. Oh, he got you, too. Oh, there really is no hope now.
Hey, fella,
no hope.
Don't you worry, fella. We'll figure this out. Ain't no mess. We can't unmess. Right, Jack?
Who are you, sir?
If I'm not mistaken, Dr. Edgar Lair, I presume?
Yes. My brother, he's somewhere in this...
Yeah, we met. We know the whole story. He just left.
With the lady.
Lady?
Major Kate Stafford, U.S. Air Force. She was on the slab of ocean floor with us.
Oh, dear. Oh, no, not Kate. Oh, he's chosen her, hasn't he?
I'm afraid so. They're about to rewrite Genesis.
Oh. But they're not... Oh, my. Oh, no.
Hey, what do you mean by that, Eddie?
The Volumians, they're using him, lying to him. I know. I've deciphered their writing. They're going to settle on Earth.
Oh.
The exciting conclusion of Shade's Brigade will continue, and thus brings to end the first half of the Granite City Radio Theater. We'll see you all back on the radio in about 15 minutes for our studio audience. Please take a moment to fill out our survey located in front of the Veranda Lounge. Fireside Room. For our listening audience, you can find the same survey online at kvsc.org. And now, ladies and gentlemen, Collective Unconscious.